This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Replacing a worn-out hip or knee or fusing a damaged spine requires an expanding variety of medical devices, some of them implantable. The constant innovation sometimes leaves surgeons relying on how-to videos on YouTube to get up to speed. Blake Farmer from WPLN in Nashville reports.
J.P. Wanner straps on a pair of virtual reality goggles. Instantly, he's immersed in the operating room.
So I mark that. I take a scalpel.
This third-year resident at Vanderbilt University is practicing a rare procedure using a specially made pin. In this simulation, he's repairing what's known as a skiffy, a dislocated hip in a child.
I've seen and operated probably about twice on an actual skiffy.
He grabs specialized tools from a stack of trays in his virtual world. The commands float over the operating table, guiding him to drill a pilot hole. He selects the right size pin to place through the bone, but the angle's a little off.
I'm not happy with that. I want to do it right now again.
Vanderbilt and a dozen academic medical centers are test piloting this virtual reality training from Oso VR. The idea is that device companies would pay to feature their products and provide the training to surgeons for free. Device maker Smith & Nephew has already signed a deal with Oso to promote a new knee replacement device that requires robotic assistance. The hope is that surgeons will start using the new procedure once they get comfortable in virtual reality. But Vanderbilt orthopedic professor John Schoenecker says this won't just help surgeons.
The place that I think this is going to be amazing for is actually with the sales reps.
Currently, hospitals allow medical device companies to have a sales rep in the operating room, partly to make sure the products are used correctly. Justin Barad is an orthopedic surgeon and the founder of Oso VR. He says device manufacturers need a better way to educate surgeons.
They don't have providers who can use their technologies because they don't have a cost-effective way to not only train them, but also a way to assess them to make sure they're using it properly.
Often, training requires flying a surgeon to a company lab for a one-off experience, says Tim Maury. He heads up training for Johnson & Johnson's medical device division.
With VR, we can bring the training right to them. They can safely make mistakes and learn and repeat.
Maury says he's bullish on virtual reality. But Lisa McGifford with the Patient Safety Action Network says virtual reality training still fails to address what she sees as a fundamental problem if it's company sponsored.
It can lead to more dependency on the company for information than even a sales rep might create.
In McGifford's view, hospitals and surgeons have handed over too much control to manufacturers. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.